China's coming up on a big anniversary of an event that the government there seems determined to airbrush from history. That'd be the violent crackdown on pro-democracy protesters in Tiananmen Square 25 years ago, June 4th, 1989 to be exact. Then, as today, a huge portrait of the deceased leader Mao Zedong watched over the square. His place in history seems secure, yet China has come a long way from Mao's idea of a Marxist revolution for workers and peasants. Reporter Ruth Morris explores where Mao fits in today's China.
There's a new commercial development in Shanghai, the Jing'an Carry Center. It features glitzy retail and glassy office towers. Nestled in the middle, not far from a Ferrari display, there's a narrow two-story apartment. It was once the home of Mao Zedong, the founding father of the People's Republic of China.
Yeah, I'm Zhang Sheng. I'm a history professor.
Zhang Sheng is the historian who researched this site before it opened as a small museum. Mao lived here briefly in 1920, studying revolutionary movements and washing clothes to earn his keep. Zhang says the fact that Mao's old apartment is now wrapped in a mall goes to show how fast China is changing. Mao is officially revered in China, but Zhang says for young Chinese born after economic reforms took hold, Mao feels far away. All Chinese college students still have to take a semester of Marxist philosophy and Mao Zedong thought. In fact, Zhang has taught the class, but he says his students were less than enthusiastic.
They talked in the class, they laughed, they slept, but they don't listen to the lessons.
That's not to say Mao doesn't have his admirers. In remote Henan province at the Democracy School, revolutionary songs rouse students from their bunks at 5 a.m. Forty-nine-year-old principal Sha Zhuhai counts as his pupils jog around the schoolyard. As if in a time warp, they run past portraits of Lenin, Stalin, and Mao. After that, it's off to the classroom, where they recite passages from Mao's little red book before breakfast. Sha says he wants to free his students from material desires and encourage them to serve the people. He says capitalism and greed destroy everything, including the environment. His school is dirt poor. There's no heating in the winter, no hot water, no indoor bathrooms. It's also very empty. More than half the classrooms are padlocked shut. Principal Sha says at its height, his boarding school had nearly 600 students. Today, there are just 18, some of them with learning disabilities. More and more families are moving to the cities, hoping for a piece of China's prosperity. Sha's school has become a relic.
The Maoist principles upon which the Chinese Communist Party came to power are no longer operative in China.
Rebecca Carl is an NYU history professor who's written a book about Mao.
Everything that the Chinese Communist Party stands for today, urban finance-driven types of development or so on, is everything that Mao stood against.
Carl says the Chinese who admire Mao today tend to be older people, nostalgic for what they remember as a simpler time. Others remember Mao as a dictator whose reckless campaigns led to the deaths of tens of millions from famine, purges, and repression.
There's four of us.
All of you, 20 each. Yes, 20 each.
Yang Peiming runs a museum dedicated to Chinese propaganda posters in the basement of a Shanghai apartment block. The posters depict adoring masses, smiling workers, bumper crops. Mao towers above the crowds, giving off light.
Mao is so mighty, and we need somebody like a savior, and he appeared. Believe he's the god, he's the hero, and so then everybody just listened to him.
Yang's own father died in the custody of communist authorities in 1952. The family was told he committed suicide, but Yang never believed that version.
From that time, I don't believe anything, you know, because it's a big lie.
Yang hopes his private museum will help visitors draw lessons from the past, but he also just wants people to enjoy the art. Independent of Mao and his mistakes, for Yang, this is an art collection. Rebecca Carl says what's happening in China happens all over the world. Foundational figures become unmoored from what they really stood for.
Mao has now become part of a national myth, and he then floats above history in a way that doesn't really require him to attach himself to history any longer.
Looking around Yang's museum with its splashes of revolutionary fervor, I suddenly notice there are only foreign visitors here. I ask Yang why he thinks that is. He tells me, it's because we're on TripAdvisor. For the world, I'm Ruth Morris in Shanghai.